believed what he has heard from us. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That's as far as reading from Romans. Then let's turn the back of our songbooks, looking at Lord's Day 31. Lord's Day 31, we're just going to be looking at question and answer 84 that deals with preaching, the key of preaching the Holy Gospel. So let's turn in the back of our songbooks, 886, 886 in the back of our red songbooks. Just by way of reminder, the catechism is given to us as a summary. It's a systematic summary of what the Bible teaches concerning these various issues. So the Bible is giving to us this very clear teaching. The catechism is just summarizing for us what the Bible teaches on these specific doctrines. So looking at Lord's Day 31, question and answer 83, let's respond with the answer here together. Question and answer 83, what are the keys of the kingdom? The preaching of the Holy Gospel and Christian discipline towards repentance. Both of them open the kingdom of heaven to believers and close it to unbelievers. And then this is our focus, question and answer 84. How does preaching the Holy Gospel open and close the kingdom of heaven? According to the command of Christ, the kingdom of heaven is opened by proclaiming and publicly declaring to all believers, each and every one, that as often as they accept the gospel promise in true faith, God, because of Christ's merit, truly forgives all their sins. The kingdom of heaven is closed, however, by proclaiming and publicly declaring to unbelievers and hypocrites that as long as they do not repent, the wrath of God and eternal condemnation rest on them. God's judgment, both in this life and in the life to come, is based on this gospel testimony. And that's as far as reading in the catechism. We pray for the blessing of our God and the work of His Spirit upon the preaching of His word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, keys normally have a twofold purpose. We use keys to open doors and we use keys to lock doors. It's rather simple for all of us and our children to understand. Keys grant access, but they also deny access. They keep people out and they let people in. If you have the right key, the door is opened. If you don't have the right key, the door remains closed. But when we are talking about the keys of the kingdom, we are talking about keys that are used within the church. The keys that we are discussing here today, the keys of the kingdom, are not physical keys used for opening physical doors. You may have a key in your pocket that could open the door, the external door of the church, but that is not what we are talking about today. Today we are talking about spiritual keys that Jesus Christ gives to the officers of the church to be used within that specific church. We already discussed this back in Lord's Day 21 about how Jesus Christ is building his church. Jesus Christ gathers, protects, and preserves for himself a sacred assembly, a body of believers. But how? How does Jesus Christ gather, protect, and preserve? What means or what tools does he use to do this work of building, protecting, and purifying his church here on earth? To ask this another way, how is the purity of the church preserved while still here on earth? What means or what tools does Christ use in order to open the way, to make it known to some that access has been granted not to a physical church here on earth, but access has been granted into the kingdom above? How does Christ make it known to you, to the people in the world, to your neighbors? How does Christ make it known that the way is open? And how does he make it known to others that the way is closed? So today we are considering the keys of the kingdom, which are keys that Christ gives to the stewards of his local church. We read earlier in Matthew chapter 16 where Peter has just made this confession after being asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Peter says, "Blessed are you, Peter. It's on this rock of the truth and the rock of your work as an apostle that I'm building my church and I'm giving to you and to those who will carry that mantle of authority in the church, it's to you that I give the keys of the kingdom. These keys are used for two purposes, opening and closing, or binding and loosing. Keys hold power of access. Our catechism has defined for us that there are two keys. The preaching of the holy gospel is the first key of the kingdom, and the second is Christian discipline towards repentance. This week, we are only focusing on the first, the primary key of the preaching, and next time, Lord willing, we'll look at Christian discipline. So today, we're going to look at this theme. Jesus Christ uses the key of preaching to welcome his people into his church and to warn those who are still outside of his church. I'll say that again. Jesus Christ uses preaching to welcome his people into his church and to warn those who are still outside. And our first point then, we're going to dig in and understand what this key is and how it is specifically used. I can imagine that little children, if you would ask your mom or dad to look at your keys of your family, you'll find that there are multiple keys and key rings. They're each different. We can admire the different patterns and key rings. But if you don't know where the key goes, it doesn't do you any good. And maybe you have a little cup at home where you have all these loose keys thrown into, and you look at it, I have no idea where these keys go. They don't do you any good. So knowing the lock is important to know which key would fit. If you don't know where the key goes, it doesn't do you any good. In a similar way, what is the purpose of the key of preaching? And where is access being granted? Well, preaching is a key that Jesus Christ gives to the church. It is also a key that Jesus uses to build his church. Jesus wants people to know where they are standing. You do not need to wait until you die in order to know what your eternal destination will be. There will be little surprise when you die. You will know whether or not you are granted access into heaven or whether you are not granted access into heaven. How? Because preachers tell you. I mean, any good preacher is going to tell you what is true. And a preacher is going to say to you, to certain people, if you do this, this mark is evident in your life. If Christ has opened your heart and you repent and believe, you are saved. The way is open. Now, it is especially important when we come to the key of preaching to remember that Jesus Christ has given this key to men. God uses preachers who are called to use a key, the key of preaching. So what then is preaching? How do you define preaching? Well, the definition I remember back from seminary is this. Preaching is the official covenantal administration of the living word of God to the gathered people. Slow that down a little bit. Preaching is the official covenantal administration of the living word of God. It's the applying of the Bible to God's people. That's what preaching is. Preaching is not some lecture. It's not some interesting discussion that I might give about a particular aspect of life that I find interesting. Preaching is not a soapbox where I bring the New York Times and say, look at this, let's read this. I don't come up here with jokes. I'm not up here to entertain you. Preaching is bringing the word. It's bringing the good news. It's bringing the Bible. It's bringing the gospel. 2 Timothy 4. Preach the word in season and out of season. Paul writing this to his young son in the faith, Timothy, beginning his work as a preacher in a local church, Paul says to him, preach the word. Don't preach human logic. Don't preach human reason or the rationale of man. Preach the word and preach it in season and out of season. Preach the word every week preach the word. The content of preaching is the word of God. It's the Bible. Pastors are not free to make up their own content, their favorite books, as a basis for preaching. Every sermon is to start and end with God's word. But we can be even more precise than this. Not only is true preaching the preaching of the word, it's this. But more than that, preaching is the content of preaching is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. The central core, the golden nugget of every passage is Jesus Christ. Christ said this in the Gospel of Luke. You're searching the scriptures, but what you don't understand is that the scriptures are pointing to me, the law, the prophets, the gospels, the letters. All the aspects of the scriptures are pointing to me. So in order to preach the word, you have to preach Jesus Christ. Preaching the gospel means that Jesus Christ is that golden thread that is woven into every sermon. Who Jesus Christ is and what he has done. Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for sinners like you. Salvation is found in no one else. And everyone who believed. Preaching is the God-given tool, the means by which Jesus Christ gathers his people. The power of preaching is not found in man's eloquence, not in winsome words or flowery prose. Paul did not preach, and he made it clear, I am not coming to you in eloquent words. I am simply preaching this clear truth. Because it is not my power and my words that save. It is the power of God unto salvation. Paul puts it like this in Romans 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Preaching is a powerful tool because it is the means by which Jesus Christ produced faith in the hearts of his people through the work of the Holy Spirit. Preaching is the tool by which Christ stirs dead hearts, planting seed in the soil. Preaching is that hammer that breaks hearts of stone. Preaching is the sword that pierces to the innermost being. Preaching is what gives light to the eyes and causes deaf ears to hear. Preaching is like a knife that cuts to the heart and exposes our thoughts and our desires. It is because preaching is the God-ordained instrument by which the Holy Spirit produces faith in the hearts of his people that makes preaching a powerful and effective tool. It's the means by which regeneration happens, conversion. Look at the development. If you still have your Bibles open, look at the development that Paul brings before us in Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 14. It's a very clear development that brings us from point A to point B. Paul says in Romans 10, starting at verse 14, is preaching is to be front and center of every church and every Christian's life. Because if you want to be saved, here is the process. First of all, preachers need to be sent. Why do you need preachers that are sent? Because sent preachers preach the gospel. Why does the gospel need to be preached? Because through the gospel hearing, people believe. Why do people need to believe? Because in believing, people call on the name of Jesus Christ. And then affixed to the end is the promise. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus Christ will be saved. So if you want to be saved, going back to point A, you need preachers sent to preach. If the end result is you want to be saved, you need to have preachers sent who proclaim the good news. Preaching is the means by which Jesus Christ teaches his people to call on the name of Jesus Christ. That's why preaching is the means by which people are saved. The good news is not just, the preaching of the good news is not just a content, it is a means, it's a process by which regeneration, faith, and conversion is produced in the hearts of God's people. People come to know who Jesus is when they hear the word of Jesus from Jesus, where Jesus tells you, this is who I am and this is how you are saved. Preaching is the way that people come to know and believe and call on the name of Jesus. These verses make it very clear. Preaching is the word of God spoken with authority. And the authority of preaching is found in the one who sends the preachers. Preachers are heralds. They're sent with a message from God. Preachers are ambassadors of Christ. The message that preachers proclaim is not their own, but it is the King who sent them. But that does not undermine the fact that God uses human means. Our passage says in Romans 10, this is verse 17, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Although the authority of the gospel proclaimed is linked to the sender, Jesus Christ, God is still pleased to use people, men called and sent. The feet that are beautiful are definitely human feet. God, in his wisdom, is pleased to use human vessels, men who are called by a local church. What makes the feet of a pastor beautiful is the message that the pastor brings. As an aside, as a church, we need to be consistently praying. And I know that many of you pray for me as your pastor. I thank you for that. But we also need to be praying that God would raise up men to be preachers. Let me say this to the young men in our church. Have you ever considered that God may be calling you to be a pastor, to be a preacher? Every generation needs to have men who are called and who are sent to preach. Because if there are no preachers, there is no preaching. And as beneficial as it might be to listen to a podcast or something live streaming, that's not preaching. Preaching takes place in the context of a local church with a pastor who brings God's word. So Paul calls these preachers, this is in 2 Corinthians 4, clay pots, earthen vessels. Pastors are nothing more than jars of clay who carry treasures, riches from God to men. So preachers in and of themselves are fallen, finite, and frail. Pastors are not perfect, but the word of God is perfect. And it is this word, as Psalm 19 puts it, the word revives the soul. It is for this reason that we as a church must keep preaching front and center. Because preaching is the tool that Jesus Christ gives to the church to proclaim to his people what is true. In the Old Testament, the prophets who were sent would begin their message like this, "Thus saith the Lord." So it stands that the authority of preaching is not found in the preacher himself, but in the one who sends the preacher. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, we thank God that when you received the word that you heard from us, you did not receive it as the word of men, but as it really is, the word of God. Preachers sent and ordained bring God's word to God's people. The authority of God himself is standing behind the words that are proclaimed. And the promise is this: if you accept the gospel promise in faith, because of Christ's merit, God has truly forgiven all your sins. So the authority of preaching is rooted in the giver of this key. Preaching is the key that Jesus uses to open and close, to make it known to us that the way is either opened to us or closed unto us. Well, now that we understand the purpose, the authority of preaching, in our second point, we consider, how are we to respond to this? What difference does this make? How should we hear the word? How should we receive the word that our God is proclaiming? Well, the first response is to acknowledge what is true. The word of God proclaimed to us is coming from God. The voice that is heard here in Romans chapter 10 is not the voice of the pastor, it's the voice of the shepherd. How can they believe unless they hear him? They hear the words of Jesus. So preaching is not a dirty secret that we keep hidden. It is something that we receive and rejoice in. Negatively, Paul says it like this: I am not ashamed of the gospel. Positively, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. If preaching is the power of God unto salvation, as Paul says in Romans, if preaching is the power of God unto salvation, if preaching is the voice of Jesus, the good shepherd, to his sheep, if the content of preaching is good news, and if in preaching it is made known how we can be saved, then it stands to reason we would delight and rejoice in this gift. Question and answer 84 puts it like this: we are to accept the gospel preaching in true faith. His own disciples, blessed are your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Do you know how many people in this world do not have what you have? How many people in this world have never heard the gospel proclaimed? And how many other people have heard the gospel proclaimed and hardened their hearts? And yet here we are sitting, listening to God speak to us, and our hearts burn within us because we receive God's word as it is. In other words, we should never be embarrassed about the preaching of the word, but rather we should keep it front and center. Because the fact is, sometimes we can, in our sinful hearts, find ourselves arguing with God's word. Or we grow tired of the old, old story of Jesus and his word. We lose a sense of the majesty and mystery of God's word. I've heard Pastor Lons preach for over 9 years. Some of his illustrations sound familiar. The fact that God would speak to us face to face in the Word shouldn't move us to awe and wonder, but unfortunately, familiarity might breed contempt. And let me say this to our young people today: do you know how wonderfully blessed you have been? That you belong to a church where Jesus Christ speaks clearly to you. Not that your pastor is all that wonderful, but that you have a God who speaks to you. And interestingly, we had a couple visiting our church this morning. And after church, that couple came up to me and said, "I've never been at your church before, but it's very refreshing to know that even though I know nothing about your church, I can attend here and I can hear the same thing here as I do in my home church." We are so blessed that God would stoop down to us and speak to us. So let us not forget that God speaks to us in and through His Word. Now, as Reformed Christians, we practice what is called the dialogical aspect of worship. God speaks and we respond. But preaching is not a dialogue. Preaching is one directional, one way. God speaks, we listen. He gives, we receive. God says it, we believe it. We're not free to pick and choose and argue with God. We're to receive it as it is, the voice of our Savior speaking to His sheep. And when we receive this word as it is, then we hear the promise, which is good news for us all. You still have your catechism open. The kingdom of heaven is opened. By proclaiming and publicly declaring to all believers, each and every one, that as often as you accept the gospel promise in true faith, God, because of Christ's merit, truly forgives all their sins. So, brothers and sisters, I can tell you today on the authority of God Himself, this is not Pastor Alon's speaking, this is Jesus speaking. If you trust in Jesus Christ with a heart of faith, if you repent of your sins and cling to Christ, if you believe in Him, I can tell you with 100% certainty, you are saved. I can promise you on the authority of God Himself that your sins have been forgiven because you have embraced Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has stirred your heart to cling to Him, and you are forgiven. All your sins, completely forgiven. You are justified. The Father looks at you and He sees a son or daughter. You're adopted. You belong to His family. That is a promise from God Himself. But question answer 84 continues. There is not only a loosing, but a binding. There is not only a way made open, there is also the revelation of the way that is closed. Keys, remember, are used to open and lock. So if the good news is not received, the way is shut. Preaching is not just good news. The warning, as question and answer 84 continues, is this. The kingdom of heaven is closed, however, by proclaiming and publicly declaring to unbelievers and hypocrites that as long as they do not repent, the wrath of God and eternal condemnation rests on them. Preaching is not just some therapeutic feel-good session. The truth needs to be told, and sometimes the truth hurts. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a holy God without the blood of Jesus Christ covering you. Jesus Christ, who said to His children, to the little ones, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But it is this same Jesus who said, "Woe to you, Pharisees, you whitewashed tombs. You hear, but you don't hear. You see, but you still don't perceive." God not only tells His children that they are welcomed into the bliss that He has prepared for them, He also says, "Away from Me, you wicked workers of iniquity." So the twofold use of the key is made evident here, a positive and a negative aspect. Yes, preaching encourages, strengthens, heals, gives life. Make known that the way is opened. A new and living way has been made. The curtain has been torn in two. We have direct access to our God. Thomas Murphy puts it like this: when we use the scriptures for the purpose God has ordained, we may look confidently for that blessing. But preaching also warns, exposes, strikes, beats, and demolishes. This is the closing or the rebuking work of preaching. You see, a faithful pastor, according to Acts 20, will preach the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God is not only about heaven, but it is also about hell. We need to hear this too. Preaching is not just good news, but it is also bad news. It is the promise of untold bliss and the warning of untold torment. The Word of God is powerful and active. The Word of God never fails to accomplish the goal or the end design that God has ordained. Everyone who sits under preaching is affected by that preaching. It is impossible to walk through those doors at 4:45 and leave at 6 without being changed. Some hearts will be softened. Others will be hardened in sin. You never go home the way you came. The same heat that melts wax hardens clay. So every heart that comes, every person that comes to hear the preaching will either grow in grace and knowledge of the truth or be fossilized in their sin. Not everyone believes. Not everyone benefits from the public means of grace. So the key that is used to open the door to the kingdom of heaven is also the same key that is used to lock the door and make it known. But the offer of salvation stands, and today is the day of salvation. As we read here in Romans 10, the voice of Jesus Christ has gone out to the ends of the earth. But not everyone has faith. To conclude, the twofold use of the key is a promise of blessing, but also a warning of woe. We are to receive the Word of God as it is, the very Word of God. Repenting and believing, knowing that salvation is a sure promise. But if you reject the Word of God in pride and refuse to trust in the Lord, Jesus wants you to know this as well. You are still in your sins. So as our theme states, Jesus Christ uses the preaching to welcome his people into his church and to warn those who are still outside. Repent, for the day of salvation is at hand. Flee the coming wrath. So when we hear the word, let us receive it. When we come to the worship service, let us come with expectation. God is meeting with us. God is speaking to us. And when we hear the voice of our good shepherd, let us rejoice, let us repent, and let us believe. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we